Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do?
Supernatural Talk, Fast Radio. And welcome back, my partner Kristen. She's back and fatter than ever after a 2-week hiatus. It's good to have her back on the show again. So welcome.
I had to get used to my work schedule, man. That stuff was starting to kick my ass out for a while, but I think I got it down.
You got it down, Pat. Well, the show wasn't the same without you, but I tried to hold down the fort while you were gone. So, but it's good to have you back. So,
you can't see it, but I'm doing a little happy dance.
Well, I can feel it actually. You're sending out good vibes through my phone, and I'm feeling it. Feeling good.
That's just how good I am.
Yeah, that damn good. There it was on the way. Did you listen to the show at all when you were gone, or you just?
It was a strictly, like, pass out as soon as I got home, wake up at 6 in the morning, and go back to work.
Oh, okay. Well,
like
we had.
I Facebooked a little bit, And that was about it. Now that I've got it down pat on how everything's going to start rolling, I got myself a flight schedule where I can have some me time.
Well, good. I guess it does take some getting used to when you get a new job and everything, and to work out the kinks and how it's affecting your life and how to make time for yourself and adjusting to a new schedule. You know, I mean, I know all about, you know, making changes and stuff like that. I've been going through a few changes in my life right now, and it's been like, holy crap, this is a whole different way of life for me right now, and it's kind of, it's going to take some getting used to, for sure. So, trust me, I know all about that. We did have a few good interviews. We talked to Twisted Paranormal 2 weeks ago, then we talked to Virginia Paranormal Investigations last week, and they were actually really, really good interviews, so I'll show you this.
I was actually kind of sad that I didn't get a chance to talk with either of them, because at Paracon, they were awesome, and I really wanted to talk to VPI about some of their investigations and the photo books that they had.
Well, I mean, obviously, we can have them back on the show. You know, so maybe we'll just have them on again sometime, maybe later on this year, or maybe into next year, you know. So that would definitely work for sure. And so, yeah. But, you know, now we have Ben Hansen from Factor Faked on our show, so that's going to be, it'll be really fun to talk to him and pick his brain a little bit. You know, he's seen some stuff. That's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I went to Hanover Tavern this weekend, helping Transcend Paranormal with their public investigation. I was representing All Thing Paranormal Society up in there. I was like, oh, yeah. I wore my shirt. I was like, shoot, I got this.
Woo woo.
So that's right, buddy. So I was definitely repping ASPS big time. That was fun. We had a few experiences in there. Wasn't too crazy in there. We went to the jail and across the street and handled the courthouse, and that was a very heavy feeling in there, but it was also it's also moldy too in there, so I mean, I don't know if that was what I was feeling, but I definitely felt something in there more than I felt in the courthouse, where I didn't feel anything in there at all. It was just blank as far as feeling. I didn't feel anything in there. And then the few experiences in the actual tavern, but I mean, nothing really to write home about, I don't think. So
I'm itching to go on a good investigation again. I've actually got my weekends.
Did you go with the team on the last investigation?
I did. It was fun. It wasn't bad.
Well, that's not a very ringing endorsement. Yeah, it was okay.
Well, I mean, I didn't really.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't awful. It wasn't good. That's great.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't awful, and it was fun. It really was. I miss places like Dunedin.
Ooh, well, that's there we go. That's a good thing, because we're probably going back there in August.
Nice.
Yeah.
I also miss some Rikers. I kind of actually want to go back there, maybe with a little bit more protection than what I had last time.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back to the Rikers for sure. I think I don't know when there's gonna be another event in Rikers.
No, isn't Rikers just like a? It's open to the public during the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it costs, maybe it costs like $10 to get in, and then you walk around, you know, do what you want. It might be less than that.
So I think it would be interesting to get like a daytime, just pocket digitype deal, just walk around with a digital recorder, and then compare it to a nighttime investigation.
That would be, yeah, I mean, that would be a good idea. I mean, that's a good idea, but the only thing you really have to concern yourself with is the noise contamination of it actually having people there and not recognizing people's voices that you don't know. So you can hear someone talking, and you don't know who they are, you hear them talking, and you'll think it might be a spirit, or you don't know if it's a spirit or not, because it could be just someone, you know, in the distance talking, but you didn't hear them, or you weren't paying attention, or you don't remember them talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So you don't,
like,
you don't
I'm still a newbie with the whole evidence thing, but I love going over digital recorders. But it always seems like there's a slight difference unless you've got a mimicker.
Well, you know,
but
what?
There's always like that slight difference when you catch something on an EVP.
Well, if it's like really close and it's, you know, whispering, then yeah, you can probably count it as a, or assume maybe it's an EVP, because if someone is beside you whispering close enough to you and they're whispering, you'll notice it because it's a different tone of voice. You will be like, oh, yeah, why is this guy whispering? But, you know, and if you hear it and there's no one there, then you're like, oh, yeah, okay. This is an EVP. But then you gotta hear the whispering underneath all the other talking, too.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
But it's not like you're surrounded by it. It's not like it's such a popular place that it's constantly surrounded by people. You know, you have plenty of space between you and the next person where you won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you also got to look at the fact, though, that, you know, sometimes spirits like to add whispers while people are talking. I think that's one thing that maybe creates my nerves.
I think people, the spirits are talking like regular, like you and me are talking right now, but might even be yelling. But since it's coming from a different, like, wavelength or like, you know, radio waves or whatever, comes out as a whisper. Since it comes from a different sound spectrum, it comes out as a whisper. So, you know, you could have been walking at Ron Henricus and someone says, hey, come here, yelling at you, but it's really, hey, come here, you know?
Yeah, true.
But I know what you mean about wanting to go back to Henricus. And I had a birthday party for Rihanna and my nephew, my daughter, two other freaks out there who don't know who Rihanna is. By the way, I'm calling the fans of our show freaks, because, you know, I think that sounds pretty cool.
They're freaking awesome too.
Yes, and the freaks come out every Monday night. That's our new slogan, tagline. What do you think?
Hashtag freaks.
That's right. Oh man, I put hashtag fast ready. I should definitely add. You need to add a hashtag freaks on your Facebook page, Facebook update.
That would be interesting.
Anyways, hell yeah, man. We should have, like, make a bumper sticker, hashtag freaks, before someone else takes it. I'm sure somebody else already has, but I don't know about
it. Or hashtag fast freaks.
Oh, fast freaks.
Uh-huh.
Freaking awesome freaks. The freaking awesome freaks. Anyways, back to my thing. I just got totally sidetracked. Today we had a birthday party at Bell Nevis for my daughter and my nephew, okay? And I had a recorder mm-hmm. there. And I sat it down and actually brought it in with me to when they were opening presents. Actually, it was a recorder on my phone. And you hear my sister talking, and then I'm talking, and you hear this really high-pitched voice underneath us, and it doesn't sound like my nephews or Rihanna. It sounds like one of the kids that was playing in the dining room while we had our
initial setup the last time.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, and that's, and
see, look at you investigating even when you're off the clock.
Hell yeah. You know, for sure I can bring a recorder up in there, for sure. And, you know, I went downstairs. I asked a few questions and stuff downstairs. Like, look, I'm here for the party. You guys want to follow me or you want to, you know, talk to me? You know, that's fine. You know, that's cool. I'll be here. But, you know, I didn't really perform an EVP session when I was at the house because I don't want to stir up anything. But I don't think you even need to have an EVP session over there. You just fucking show up with a recorder and you'll get shit.
Yeah.
We never have a disappointing trip to Belene. Of course, I say that I should totally knock on wood now because I don't want to jinx myself. Oh.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. It's, I don't think that's possible, though, to be honest with you, to be completely honest with you. I think that, you know, we know they're there. And if we go there, just not get anything. It's not like we don't know they're there. They picked the wrong night. Giving us a cold shoulder, perhaps. Let's see here. Well, you know what? I think it's time for us to do what's in the news today. What do you think? How's it make you feel?
Sounds like a plan.
Deep down inside. Does it give you a warm, tingly feeling inside?
It does.
I know it does.
I get
now it's time to let you finish your sentence. Go ahead.
I said I get the warm fuzzies.
Yes. Yes. See, that's why I wanted to stop and let you finish, because that's so deep that I had to let you finish your thought. Deep thoughts. Kristen Whitmer. Okay. From today, I found an article. Apparently, some people in Mexico were playing with the Ouija board. And you know what happens when we play with the Ouija board? Nothing good. All right. The headline is, from Ouija board to hospital, Mexican possessed and for treatment. Okay. Don't we all love the tabloid? Here's courtesy of Daily Mail, a story about three American buddies who were hospitalized shortly after playing a game on the Ouija board. How do you play a game on the Ouija board? It's just talking. It's not a game. It's like you play Monopoly. Here, roll the dice. They suffered vision errors and nausea and were taken to a local hospital where the doctors gave them painkillers. Alexandra Huerta, a 22-year-old American, was playing a game with her brother Sergio and 18-year-old cousin Fernando Cuevas in the Topzalan village, San Juan. God damn, Chalateco, Southwest Mexico. Wow, that's a mouthful. This playful game around the Ouija board soon took a turn for the serious, as she began growling and thrashing like a vile creature. Sergio and Fernando too began exhibiting symptoms like blindness, deafness, and hallucinations. The paramedics were called, and they took them to a nearby hospital. The patient had to be restrained and then given doses of anti-stress medication, painkillers, and eye drops, which showed positive signs. They spoke of feeling numbness, double vision, blindness, deafness, hallucinations, muscle spasms, and difficulty swallowing. Of course, the Daily Mail did some grave digging research and came up with a detailed article on what really happened. However, this new article mentioned that Alexandro was 16 years old and not 22, which surely spikes my suspicions. As for this new research, the trio had been committing this session with the consent of the guardians to contact the spirits of Alexandra's parents. Alexandra was an orphan. In fact, the guardians advised them to perform a seance. Well, that's smart. Yeah, that's great parenting right there. You know what? Yeah, you choose a Ouija board. Yeah, just, yeah, whatever. Yeah, open a portal. What's the worst that can happen? Really, you know?
Shit. Well, you see, a lot of people, like when you said, how can it be a game? A lot of kids and a lot of parents don't really put a lot of faith into it. So they think it's harmless, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, talk to the ghost. It'll be fun. What's the worst that can happen? Purportedly, the three used a drug called Brux Mancia, or the angel trumpet. Oh, there. Oh. A shamanic. Shamanic enhancement drug, popularly, that's a mouthful, used by Mexicans. A shamanic enhancement drug, like a shaman would use, you know, I guess, to, like, see spirits. You know, people, like, medicine men, mm-hmm. smoke a peace pipe, and they can, like, see different things, and they can tell you the future, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
I didn't catch the name of it.
Oh, it's called Brux Mancia, or the Angel's Trumpet. Popularly used by Mexicans during practicing Ouija board sessions. I swear I can finish the sentence. Basically, a poisonous plant found in Latin America that induces dark hallucinations, confusion, muscle paralysis, and can even lead to death of large patients. So, I think they're on drugs. That's why they were acting crazy and not possessed from Ouija boards. Thoughts?
Yeah, because you don't really have to have a hallucinogen to see or do Ouija boards, but if you add that into the mix, of course you're going to get something out of it.
Yeah, but then you have to ask, are you seeing what the drug's telling you to see, or is it natural? You know, is it just... Because
although there are some
drugs,
beliefs
you
that...
could be seeing what the drug's telling you to see. You might not be seeing anything at all, just drug-induced shit.
Well, there's that, and then there's also certain customs that they actually, yeah, they use the hallucinogens, or they use frogs. It's a certain type of frog that people, yeah.
I watched the Southern Ghost Hunters or whatever, Ghost Hunters of the South, whatever that Duck Dynasty bullshit was on the Travel Channel, or Sci-Fi, and the old guy was kissing a frog or something, or I guess, drinking frog urine or something. I don't know what he did, but it's supposed to make you see things.
It reminds me of that Family Guy episode. Was it Family Guy? It was King of the Hill. Where all the kids in the school were licking frogs.
Right there. Do what? So that's an old
where all the kids
right
in the school were... Yeah. There's an episode where the kids were licking the frogs and they were treating it as a drug.
I think
Bobby
actually
got caught with somebody else's frog.
Licking the frogs. That sounds like some kind of weird sex act. Want to lick my frog, baby? Yeah.
That just sounds so
damn
weird.
What happened to Billy? Yeah, he was caught licking the frog last night. Well, shit, it's the same thing as, like, choking the chicken or whatever, you know? I mean,
I can't tell you how many weird looks I've gotten at work when I go by somebody and I pinch their elbow and be like, ha-ha, I pinched your weenus.
Yeah, I'd give you a weird look, too, because I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Pinch your weirdness?
The skin on the end of your elbow is called your weenus.
Oh, did you make that up?
No.
Oh. I've never heard that before in my life. Okay.
That's just
special,
like a dork
in
the whale's penis, but nobody
special place
thinks of it
look
like that.
Huh?
It's just like a dork is a whale's penis, but nobody uses it in that context.
A dork is a whale's penis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, actually, you know, that might be seen as a compliment as far as, like, damn, this thing is big as a whale. Woo! Thank you very much. Woo!
Yeah. See, you're seeing the bright side of things. Yay!
Be like, next time someone calls me a dork, I'm like, you're damn right. You are damn right.
You turn around and be like, yep, and I'm hung like one, too. What's the good?
Yeah, damn, I'm hung like a sperm whale. Get it? Sperm? Oh, yeah. Yeah. My this show's going down the gutter. Yeah, shit, it's fine. That's where it belongs. That's where it belongs. The freaks live in the gutter.
It's all my fault. I started talking about weenuses and licking frogs, man.
Yeah. Licking the frogs. I know you want to go with your girlfriend and lick her frogs, but you got to use protection. Just can't be licking.
While you're saying that, for some reason, that song LOL Smiley Face popped into my head.
You just can't be licking girls' frogs all the freaking. That's what Miss Pinky's parents said to her. Yeah.
Not in public.
That's right. You don't be licking frogs in public. Do it behind closed doors. It's just the right thing to do. And this,
what happens on the Fast Show stays on the Fast Show.
That's right. That's right. We're like the Las Vegas of Law Talk radio shows. Now, let's see. So Mexicans who are doing drugs and talking at the Ouija board. What a great way to spend a Friday night.
Way to kickstart your weekend.
I know. We totally need to do that. We need to find some angel trumpet.
They said that they wound up dead in the article.
I don't think so. They said they were recovering.
Okay.
No, I didn't say that. No. Yeah, I said they were showing positive signs. So being dead probably wouldn't be considered a positive sign, you know.
Yeah, no.
It depends on the kind of people they were.
I don't know, man. Taking a hallucinatory drug and then messing with the Ouija board opens you up for a whole buttload of whatever. Because not only are drugs bad for you kids, but if you mess with the supernatural world while under the influence of anything, your guard could be down. And anything could happen.
Exactly.
You could wake up barking like a dog and walking like a chicken one day and think you're speaking English and walking regularly.
And that's one to grow on, right there. Very, very good. That's right, kids.
That was my drugs were bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? Drugs. We are young, okay? We were in Hanover, and like Rhonda was just not like the Candyman from that movie Candyman. So Tiffany, when I was first singing the Candyman song, and she was like start getting really upset. Towards the end, I was so just butt ass tired as it started going into like singing and being freaking crazy.
I don't know, I like the Candyman movies. I tried it once, looking in the mirror and saying Candyman three times and flicking the light off and then back on.
Was it good for you?
No, it didn't do anything.
It wasn't as good as thinking about it.
I was mildly upset.
And pinching elbows. Well, I mean, I actually tried doing the Bloody Mary thing, you know. I should
Bloody
try
Mary
doing
didn't
Bloody
work
Mary
either.
While drinking a Bloody Mary. There you go.
That's what's good.
I chickened out, though. I know. I was a wimp. I was like, chickened out. But I was like,
oh, my God. So. Okay, so I watched the Hungover games yesterday.
I think
it's that,
we have our guests to hang on to your Hungover games question. Or statement, or whatever you're going to say. And I think I'd like to introduce Ben Hansen from Fact or Fake. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Aloha.
Mr. Hansen.
Yes, this is Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we really appreciate you coming on, for sure. How have you been?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm if it's a little bit noisy, I'm just driving to an event right now. But yeah, I've got about 30 minutes. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
It's a nice night here in Virginia, so I'm enjoying that for sure.
Oh, where are you located?
We're actually in Virginia.
In Virginia, oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
sir.
I'll be sort of out that way pretty soon. Pennsylvania. Kind of nearby and towards the end of July here, so it's been a while. We haven't had many events back east. And kind of out here a few up in upstate New York, but most of them been West Coast this year, which is kind of different.
Oh, that's cool. Do you ever get to Virginia in this area?
Yeah, I mean, we did. I did one year an event in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. We came through Virginia a little bit. Didn't do an actual event there, but I did have sort of an informal group of friends when I was on vacation in North Carolina, and we came up to just outside of Virginia City, I believe it is, or Virginia Beach, I'm sorry. There's a place called the Ferry Plantation.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. They were very kind and kind of letting us come and check out their space, and it's got a lot of history to it, and it's a really big plantation. I've been talking to them about maybe doing an event there at some point. But yeah, I mean, Virginia's got a lot of places. When I lived there for a little bit, you know, I went and did the tours in Alexandria, you know, the walking tours and all that stuff, and just filled with history and a lot of haunted places.
So did you live here during, like, when you were with the FBI? You lived in Virginia?
Yeah, I lived in Quantico. Uh-huh. Lived in Quantico, and then every weekend I would rent a car, and I'd go into D.C., or I'd go down to I think one weekend we went down to, is it King's Dominion? Is that there in Virginia? In Fredericksburg, maybe? Or, what's the big amusement park that you have?
Yeah, King's Dominion is actually right outside of Fredericksburg a little bit, in Doswell.
Yeah, that's where we went. So we'd get out, we'd explore. You know, it's just beautiful country. And lots of stuff to do, so we didn't want to, you know, stay cooped up all the time.
Well, that's true. That's true, definitely. Well, again, well, thank you very much for coming on the show with us. You got a background in the paranormal or law enforcement. How did that affect your going into the paranormal field?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, a lot of people don't see any similarities. I think there should be. I mean, because there's a lot of groups that, you know, say they do investigations and things, but they really lack the basic skills, you know, of documentation,
mm-hmm.
which is really important.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to somebody's house or a client, you know, that wants to, you know, have some claims checked out, and if you don't have a methodical process about it, it really looks unprofessional. And so, I mean, one of the skills that I think my law enforcement experience gave me was basically just documenting. Like on our show, Fact or Fake, there was a whole lot that, of course, never makes it to air. And if you looked at my notes from all these cases, I would go back, for example, with EVPs and make logs of all the EVP sessions and write down any little anomalous sound that I didn't know what it was. And very, very meticulous. And that was just kind of bred in me, because when you're law enforcement, you have to document these things as if you were going to testify about them in court.
Uh-huh.
And in the TV world, the producers really only care about getting the shot. You know, like if they're like, okay, good enough, that gets us to commercial break, it's entertaining enough, we've got enough things going on in the show, whatever. They really do not care about evidencing the investigation. They might find it interesting, but what I had in mind was, well, I'm in these such cool locations and amazing things are happening in front of my eyes. I want to be able to document it well enough so that if someone else comes here and they, you know, want my notes, I can give them to them and they can see if they can replicate the same thing going on, or, you know, make it useful at least.
Yeah.
So with the show, they basically, they didn't really go into the meticulous work of the actual investigation. They were just like, all right, well, we're just going to do the investigation itself and not behind the scenes.
I think that more than most shows, we were very meticulous. I mean, we had to with our experiment, but it's TV. And the bottom line is, you know, entertainment. And the producers, of course, aren't going to spend time working on things and documenting stuff that the audience is never going to see. It's just pointless. So the burden, you know, lies on me and my team, because we're very interested in this stuff, and we'll probably never write a book about it, because you'd have to have the network on board, you know, to use any of the experiences you had. So why do we do it? Well, it's really for the pure enjoyment and interest in what we're trying to investigate. We're really, truly intrigued by the mysteries, and so that's what drives me to document and do all this stuff that no one will probably even know about.
Well, before you did fact or fake, were you a firm believer in the paranormal, or did you truly believe it more now than you did before?
I've always had an open mind. But, you know, like, there's stuff now, yeah, I would say there's things that I'm more open to now than I was before the show and before I really started looking into it while I was in college. Because as a kid, you're taught certain things don't exist. You know, at least I was told that, yeah, ghosts, as far as spirits hanging out and haunting a place, just aren't real. Maybe, yes, there's life after death, but not, you know, ghosts in that sense that just, you know, try to scare people or hang out in places. And so it really surprised me, I mean, growing up, that to think that some of the ghost stories I heard about when I was a kid could be true. And then I'm also a little bit more open-minded to other phenomena that I've heard very credible anecdotal evidence of. You know, people talking, for example, maybe about locations that are hot spots where they're seeing sort of these creatures like skinwalkers or stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, sounds interesting. But the more you hear people talk about this, that are very credible people, there's got to be something to this, I think. I don't know what it is, but I can't simply dismiss what people say they're seeing when I myself have had some very strange experiences.
I actually read your articles, the one about the possible UFO entrance on the West Coast, and also about the fairy pictures in England. I read the quotations from the articles and stuff. Besides things that are spirits and, you know, investigating haunted places, quote unquote, what more do you think what do you think you're interested in more? The fact that, you know, aliens possibly exist or other supernatural beings or spirits themselves?
That's a good question. I'm interested in them both, but I think that there's more questions to be asked when it comes to extraterrestrials. At least for me, because I think I've seen enough with the ghosts and spirits to say, okay, look, not only do I believe that occasionally people can see them and interact with them, but I'm pretty sure I know what they are. You know, I'm pretty sure that these are spirits of departed people who have lived here. Some would argue that maybe EVPs are projections of our own thoughts onto the tape recorder, and that's interesting, but I would say the evidence is pointing towards, yeah, this is most likely evidence of the afterlife. But when it comes to the extraterrestrials, just UFO encounters, I have seen some objects doing amazing, incredible maneuvers that are not conventional craft, but can I tell you who's flying them? No. I haven't talked to the occupants. I haven't seen them. Could they all be military? I don't know. I really don't know. I think it would be very difficult because of how far advanced these things are that I've seen and I've heard other people talk about. And then you get into the history of it, and you get into the documentation. You get into the statements by, you know, former generals and military officers and pilots and presidents. And it just seems like when you add that all up, there's a really good case that we're dealing with. Let's call them the others. But again, so let's say we know there are others. Well, who are they? There's more questions. You know, are they actually from another world? Are we talking about beings from another dimension? Are we talking about, you know, some people theorize, well, they're time travelers, they're us in the future. That is complete speculation, but the point is there's more questions. For me than there is about the ghost hunting. So it does interest me in that sense a little more.
But which do you think is more likely to occur first, finding Bigfoot or making contact with an alien race?
Oh, man. You know, my biggest problem with Bigfoot, and people, I guess, could say the same about extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. We have pretty credible stories about having recovered bodies of extraterrestrials. Very credible. I mean, for military witnesses who've seen them and talked about where they're being kept or things like that. Bigfoot, on the other hand, all I've seen with people saying they've recovered a body are known hoaxers. I haven't seen any evidence.
That,
you know, and so it's not to say that there isn't something to the phenomenon. I just don't know that it's an undiscovered creature. I don't know if it's that simple, and that might sound a little even further crazy, but I just don't know that we're talking about a living, breathing, undiscovered creature like a, you know, mountain gorilla was, and we just have to find it, you know, because I think otherwise we probably would have found a dead body. We would have had some hunter shoot one. You know, the wilderness is a big place, but it's not that big that, you know, with the frequency of these encounters that I don't think we would have come across something.
Especially with all the stuff we have, with all the, like, great, like, satellites and stuff, and all the, you know, all the ways we have of finding people, we should be able to find something by now, you would think.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, that, granted, like I said, people can make the argument about extraterrestrials, and you know, I can't deny that. I think it's very frustrating. It's the most frustrating thing of all is that if it is true that some have crashed, some have come here, and there have been bodies, well, if government is involved, they've become very efficient at covering it up, cleaning it up. Are they the same way with Bigfoot? I don't know. I mean, if the Bigfoot phenomena is real, I imagine that the government would be interested, but I don't know if they would in the same way. It's, you know, it's anybody's guess.
Uh-huh. I got you.
I have a quick question that's mildly off topic, but only mildly.
Okay.
Have you ever read the book Behold a Pale Horse?
No, I don't think I have.
if you get a chance, you should read it, only because it, it's been a while since I've read it, and I can't remember if he was actually part of a law enforcement branch or if he was in the military, but I think his name is William Cooper is the author, and he talks about stuff that he's seen, like actual UFO findings and stuff like that.
Huh.
So you might be interested in it.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And going back to what I was asking you about the underwater alien base in the West Coast and the fairy pictures, do you have a lot of people or websites that come to you when they need help to having to for debunking stuff?
Well, I guess some of them come to me wanting me to debunk. I don't consider that my job to debunk, but maybe to see if there's a reasonable explanation, or see if I've seen that powder before. Yeah, I get it all the time. Mostly people will send me pictures that they've taken or had a friend take, and they'll have some mist or some orb or something appear in the picture, and they say, "What is this?" And I find it very difficult to really do anything with these pictures. I don't know if they think I have, like, a magic crystal ball to look into.
Okay.
But the biggest problem is that people see these anomalies in their photos after they've reviewed them. And I tell them again and again, look at your photos while you're on site. You know, because if you see something that looks like a face looking in a window, you know, that condition is never going to be exactly the same when you look at your photos weeks or months later. And our imaginations will try to make up stuff all the time. And even, you know, if you don't have the same camera, the same conditions, these little artifacts that show up in the camera could be completely different. And there could be 100 reasons, you know, very logical reasons why that thing showed up in that photo. So I do what I can, but for the most part, I just have to tell people I really don't know. You know, and not being there, especially if you were on location, like on our show, we can actually try some experiments and try using the exact camera. But most people don't do their homework, and they just have a photo and they say, "Okay, what is it?" You know, I do have a lot of
there.
Yeah, exactly. I do have a friend who's at the Huffington Post that does send me videos and photos, and generally we have a backstory, though, at least, of what's going on in the photo, and then that's where I start to work, and it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, you mentioned the case with this UFO underwater base off Malibu. They talked about this on Coast to Coast last night, and kind of it made a, no pun intended, but a big splash. I mean, a lot of people were looking at this on Google Earth, and what they thought they were seeing was this sort of like a flat, looks like an arena, a sports arena underwater with these columns or pillars. And you can go onto Google Earth and you can, you know, change the perspective and look around it, and on some angles it looks like the kind of the blackness underneath between the pillars goes far back, as if it was some type of a cave.
Uh-huh.
And there was a geologist who made a comment that this is a known geological feature. It's part of the fault line. You know, there's some other experts on there. And my point was, you could find very strange things on Google Earth, but it's not all exactly as it is represented. That's not a picture of the underwater. It's a depiction, which is made by a computer program, which is comprised of satellite and sonar and, you know, other methods. And so it's funny. It's funny how people get in their head, they've made this grand discovery, and they go off telling the world about it when they haven't done their basic homework. And It turns out that I think it's a geological feature that was combined with some software 3D imaging that, you know, didn't quite render the graphic as accurately as it could have, and so it showed up that these ridges looked like pillars, and, you know, so anyways, no underwater base on Google Earth. If there is one, I don't think that we've captured it on Google Earth.
Oh, so no aliens living underwater?
Well, you know, I won't completely mock and laugh at that. I mean, there have been a lot of sightings, you know, off of Catalina and off Southern California. There was a scout troop, several dozens, if I'm not mistaken, out in Catalina of scouts who witnessed objects coming in and out of the water over a long period of time. And,
wow.
You know, these USOs or, you know, unidentified submerged objects is a real phenomena of something that's going on. And whether they actually have a base or not or what they are, I really have no idea.
Well, the ocean is very, you know, ocean is, you know, parts of the ocean where we can't get down there to check out what's going on. So there very well could be something down there.
It makes,
you know,
sense.
Like,
I mean, if you wanted to hide on the earth, it makes sense where, you know, it would be a perfect place to go, I suppose.
Yeah, if you have the technology to hide one of those trenches down there, I guess you know. But another question, this goes back to when you were with the FBI. Have you had a crime that committed that was so bad you thought there could have been a demonic influence? Looking back at some of the times you've experienced?
I didn't quite catch the whole question. So an experience that I've had with a demonic influence?
Well, going back when you were with the FBI, have you ever experienced a crime? Looking back at it now, that makes you wonder if there was maybe a demonic influence occurring to make that crime happen.
Oh, to make a plan happen, you said?
Yeah.
Like a criminal type of a thing, you're saying?
Yeah. Sorry, that hurt from getting it out.
That's an interesting question. You know, I do believe in good and evil. And I do believe in demonic influences. You know, I don't know that I've ever had direct proof that, you know, the reason someone did something was a demonic influence of any sort, though. I mean, I dealt with some very, very horrible types of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my primary areas of expertise was working with child sex crimes. And it's not a happy subject, but I met some despicable people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I bet you did.
I think they have allowed that influence for sure to creep into their lives to where they have no very little light and positive influence left. You know, and to look into the kind of the souls of some of these people, they get to the point where they really don't have a conscience. And I've dealt with people who I'd consider sociopaths, meaning they have no feelings of compassion towards other humans. And those are found even within the paranormal community. Hoaxers who do this. Doesn't mean they're going to be serial killers, but I've met enough of them that they've continued these cons for years, and enough so that I think it would take somebody without a conscience to be able to lie for, say, 15 years about a certain hoax and to take people's money for books and videos. And those people, statistically, about 20% of the population – I'm sorry, not 20%, 1 out of 20. That's a big difference. 1 out of 20 of 20 people meets the criteria of a sociopath. You know, so these people are around you, and you may have run into them and had a relationship with one of these people. It's kind of a scary thing. But I think it does have to do a lot of times with kind of submitting themselves to a darker influence, for sure.
Well, that's interesting.
The bad part about it is one of my used-to-be friends for, like, years was actually a sociopathic pathological liar.
Yeah, they're
so,
not fun.
Yeah. No, they're not.
They're all around.
And they're very charismatic, which they don't have to be great liars is the thing, because their charisma is what wins people over, because people want to believe them.
Yeah.
And their stories can be so fantastic, but there's a sense of sometimes in the victims there's some greed, sometimes it's just their personality that wants to believe, and it's very interesting. I've spent a lot of time trying to develop kind of a profiling system for these types of people. And, you know, in fact, I'm lecturing on it in Roswell, New Mexico, this coming weekend. So it's a great subject. It's fascinating. It's really sad that these people exist, but you kind of hate to say it, when you run into these types of people, you have to avoid them like a rabid dog. And just realize they're sick. And
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't reason with them. You just stay away from them.
I learned that the hard way, but yeah. No, it's actually really funny. And I think his was part of his personality, along with the fact that he wanted to fit in. And at the same time, he was using it as a cover to get close to people. And
yeah.
He wound up stealing a lot from a lot of people, too. So,
well, they're parasites on society, and they will use, and they have no remorse for it. You know, so it's actually a lot of them get bored. There's, you know, physiological differences with them, and they get bored sometimes with what normal people, you know, could have a satisfying life, but it's very mundane for them, and you know, some studies have shown they you know, have a slower heart rate. They'll have, you know, a higher threshold for, you know, adrenaline and excitement. So they require more to get the same out of a situation than a normal person would. So they're biologically different people as well, and it's very frustrating.
Well.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Before we go, I was wondering, do you believe interest in the paranormal has still strong, or has it kind of died down recently?
It's going very strong, very strong. The I have seen in the last probably maybe 7 months or so, some of the events, if, you know, that I normally do, some of the events, not that I've done, luckily, but others have canceled, or, you know, you're not maybe seeing as much going on in that aspect. And I think it's a ripple effect from the TV shows, because we are seeing a change. And the change is in the formatting, not necessarily the genre. The UFO and ghost subject is still very hot in Hollywood. The difference is you're not going to see as many of these shows that are team-based shows like Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures. In fact, they're probably the only two that are still kind of trudging along. All the others are, you know, the team-based shows where people going around in the dark and, you know, what was that? What happened? They're changing now to where you're going to see more. Not to knock on those other shows, but let's say more, a little more academic, a little more like talking heads where experts sit there and they'll say something and then they'll have a reenactment, which is equally as entertaining for me, but they'll have these reenactments and stuff. And so that's the type of show that we're going to see more of. In fact, I think there's more UFO shows now than there were a year ago. And we've got a couple coming on the air. So the topic is very hot. It's just that they're changing the way they're doing it, and that might have an effect on some of the groups, because a lot of guests that they have, the paranormal celebrities, you know, may not be currently on TV. And so that's my theory anyways, is that the draw for these events, you know, might change a little bit.
Okay. Well, wow, this has been a really, really fun conversation with you.
Katie,
well,
don't
want
it to end. I like picking your brain. This is awesome.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'd love to be back at some point.
Oh, we would love to have you back on the show. We really appreciate you coming on and talking with us for a few minutes.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
All right.
Have a good week. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Well, that was pretty fun talking to him.
I would definitely like to have him back on the show again. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
I was doing the happy dance the whole time. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, man, I was like, man, my questions aren't stupid because, you know. All right, Amika, I gotta get myself calmed down a little bit. So I'm gonna play a song here, and maybe play a commercial, and then we'll be back in like 6 minutes, 6-7 minutes. All right.
Deal.
Okay. See you in a few. See you in the flip side.
All right.
I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think so, I command you to. Panoramic view, look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose, all you different crews. Chicks and dudes, who you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you getting down in a picture too. Like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe. Spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view, yeah. When you're too crazy. Lifeless to those, a definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high shit. You like it? Gun smoke, you're righteous with one toe. You're psychic among no possess you with one go.
I'm happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. The future is coming on. I'm happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
The essence of basics. Without it, you make it. Allow me to make this. Like your nature, rhythm, you have it or you don't, that's a fallacy, I'm in them. Every sprouting tree, every child of peace, every cloud and sea. You see with your eyes and see destruction and demise. Corruption in the skies from this fucking enterprise. Now I'm sucked into your lies through rust, so not as muscles, but percussion to provide. For me as a guide, y'all can see me now cause you don't see with your eye. You perceive with your mind, that's the inner. So I'ma stick around with rust and be a mentor. Bust a few rhymes so motherfuckers remember what the thought is. I brought all this so you could survive when law is lawless.
Right,
feeling sensations that you thought was dead. No squealing, remember that it's all in your head.
Hey, it happened. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. The future is coming on. Hey, it happened. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. My future is coming on.
coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, our future. It's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, our future.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
Okay, so we're back.
Woo!
Yes, and before I go on, I would like to thank Allie Braswell for helping us get in contact with Ben Hansen in the first place. She's the one who actually made the contact with him and set it up for us to talk to him. So we would like to give a freaking awesome
supernatural
high
welcome.
Five. Yes, freaking awesome, I don't know, something. Salute, I guess, to Allie Braswell for helping us out to get him on the show. So thank you very much. Mooch ass, grassy ass to you. So now let's get down to, as they say, let's get down to bid ass. Let's get bid nasty. And begin part two of the freaking awesome supernatural talk, or since I can't change it on Facebook, freaking awesome paranormal show. So it's the same thing. Just people who get confused. It's not two different shows. It's the same show. We just, you know, with two different names. That's not confusing at all, is it? Okay. Now, I was so worried about having Mr. Hansen, or, you know, as, you know, since we're best friends now, I'll call him Ben, having Ben on the show with us, that I don't really have much else to talk about. So I was like, you know, I'll just go online and see if they can find some cool hauntings around here. Maybe find some, maybe go to YouTube and find some, maybe find some MP3s about some hauntings around here and the surrounding areas. And I was able to find some interesting clips. So I figured I could play some and we could discuss them. How does that make you feel?
I was going to say, before you get onto the clips, I actually did find something about Louisa.
You did? Well, shoot. Lay it on me.
It's actually out in Mineral over on Owens Creek Road, which is only a 10-minute drive from me. It's a historical red house, and they call the haunting the mistress of the red house. Apparently, it's said that she roams... it's said that she roams the grounds of the house, which is a Revolutionary War house, and she's always in a tan dress, and sometimes she stands peering out the window or near the driveway entrance, and she normally appears early in the morning around 4 a.m. The house is still standing. It was redone in the 19th century. It's a small house with a large yard, and there is a forgotten, unkept graveyard nearby.
They have a forgotten, unkept graveyard nearby? Is that what you said?
Yep.
So it's, like, full of, like, tall weeds and stuff like that?
Pretty much.
Well, there you go. Louisa. Haunted. Who knew?
It's full of mysterious ways. I was looking for Goochlin, but didn't really find anything.
She works in mysterious ways. Yes, she does. Well, there are haunted locations in Goochlin. They just might have to dig a little bit to find them, you know? It's just like you had to dig a little bit to find the Louisa thing. I just looked the first few articles. I'm like, I can't find anything. Screw it. I'm done. Yeah, I didn't really look super, super duper hard for that. Is there anything else? Anything else in the article?
No, that was all it mentioned.
Okay.
It didn't really say anything else. It just said that it was the Red House haunting.
Well, maybe we should go. Is it like a historical house, or is it someplace we could actually go check out, or is it like a residence or something?
I'd have to look into it.
Okay. Well, maybe we can find that out sometime. Maybe we'll figure out if maybe we can go there and check it out sometime, you know?
Heck yeah.
Hell to the yeah. All right, so the first fun, exciting place we are going to visit on our haunted tour tonight is a place called Shawnee Amusement Park in West Virginia. I think a lot of people probably heard this. It's an amusement park where it was basically built on Shawnee Indian land. There's a lake in there. People have drowned. There's a girl who got killed on the amusement park swings, you know, kind of swing you around really fast. Well, not really fast, but get you really high. I think the story was she was on the swings and the delivery truck, the guy was delivering like maybe food or beer or something to the concession stand. And I think he parked it on the hill, and maybe the parking brake didn't work and the truck rolled down the hill. And as it was rolling, the girl was on the swing and she ended up smacking it, you know, going face first into the back of a truck, and the swing was, I think she was, you know, making it go pretty fast, and she was killed on impact. So what I found was a tour guide, or maybe I think his father owned the land, and he was telling the stories of what happened on the Shawnee at the Shawnee Amusement Park. So let's give it a listen.
Ready.
Hold on.
Have seen silhouettes on the Ferris wheel. You know, they ask, well, how'd that guy get up there? And I go, well, you can't. The leg guard's turned up into the seat. It's impossible to sit in it. And they go, but I seen a man in the seat. I'm going, that's what you're here for. You're here to experience it. But I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of non-believers come here, and they actually experience something, and they walk away still being a non-believer because they don't want to believe what their eyes are seeing. The swings will move by themselves. This is the kind of place that if you don't want to believe, you can still walk away from here and say, yep, I don't believe, even though I've seen it, I don't believe it. There's a total of about 6 people that accidentally died on the property. A little girl riding swings got hit by a pop truck backing up, slid in the mud. And, my dad drove it for like 4 years, and I always felt the presence of somebody sitting on his shoulder or leaning on his shoulder. And she showed herself to come to him and told him that she'd like to have the tractor. So he got off the tractor and he gave it to her. Right there's where he got off of it. Right there's where he put everything to make sure that we don't move it. And that's where it stayed. It's the same girl my father tells the story about. It's the same girl that everybody sees when they come and do get to see her. If you'll come and take a tour, as you walk around, you find the spirits at the Ferris wheel. You find the spirits at the swings. You find the spirits at the old hot dog trailer. You find them at the ticket booth when they're out here in the amusement park. They're like, this is an amusement park for the spirits. And sometimes they're just nice enough to let you see what they can do. Stay the way it is for as long as I'm living. God, I hope that's a long time.
Well, that was interesting.
I like the fact that he's keeping it the way it is for the spirits instead of remodeling and putting up another amusement park.
Yeah, I think he's probably making plenty of money just keeping it the way it is. We think we might have a caller on here. Let me see. Hello?
Yeah, it's Matt. How's it going?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I was confused as hell when I just tuned in. I'm like, all right, is the guest playing their own background music? Like,
so I've never actually screened a call before, so I was just trying it out to see if I could do it. So I guess I kind of messed that up, but oh well.
Yeah, you hit the little chat window thing that turns yellow, and then hit the chat window thing that turns yellow. You have to wait for a second. I heard the audio drop out. And
all I heard was the clip I was playing in the background. So I was like, is this even working? I was like, hit the button. Hello, hello, hello.
You gotta hit both chat windows. So the little chat icon and on yours and on mine, and then we can talk, and the show still goes on. But you can't hear the show. So when you come back in, you have no idea where it is. It's an awesome setup. It's confusing.
I need any help on being more confused than I already am right now. You know? So what can we do for you?
I don't know. I was just calling to check out the show. So, happens to be a Monday night, which you are the predecessors to Dennis and I on Monday night. So when I have free, I'll, I wasn't able to tune in, so I was calling in to listen.
Okay.
Oh, you miss Mr. Henson?
Huh?
You missed the guest?
I did.
I'm hard to
Yeah, I heard
that.
You had Matt Henson on tonight.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
How are things in the alien world?
Oh, we were discussing, I think we're discussing, well, a geological anomaly they found it near California, right, Kristen? We thought there was an something alien spaceship or something.
Yeah, off the coast of Malibu. And also the fairy pictures. I think it's Roswell.
Rossendale,
thank you.
Yeah,
I was close.
Never mind. I'm not going to go that route. But
go there.
No. What you're talking about with fairy pictures is this past weekend, and I have a lot of friends who were involved and actually got married during it. We had the gay pride parade here in Chicago.
Oh.
So that's why I was taking the high road and not going that route. But so no, I have to say congratulations to a lot of my friends who were involved and also ones that tied the knot since gay marriage is now or has been legal in Chicago. They went away for the special event and the stuff and everything. So congratulations to my new hitched male friends and one female couple also.
Well, we like to congratulate them too. From the freaking awesome.
I had a party popper. I'd pull it.
Yeah, I don't know if they want names released, so that's why I'm not saying names. But so anyway, all right. When it comes down to the, since I missed part of it, when it comes down to the alien aspect of things, what's your guys' opinion of it?
Well, for me, it's hard for me to say there's not any extraterrestrial life because space is so vast that for me, and there's so many stars, so many different, they're probably never ending. It's like how can we be so like bold to think that we're the only ones around? But then again, the religious aspect of my life kind of weighs that down a little bit. So it's trying to kind of an inner battle between logic and religion too. So I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. But I would probably say yeah, there are aliens out there.
I am a firm believer that there are extraterrestrial life forms, but why they keep only giving us glimpses of possibilities that they're out there instead of making contact is definitely up for debate. God knows I've gone through scenarios in my head, and most of them aren't nice.
Well, on a scientific level, this is usually my response to it. There are, like, back in, I think it was, if I remember right, 1964, we put out a broadcast throughout the whole galaxy, a very, very large EMP that basically to try to say here, this is the president, this is, what's going on in a radio wave format, that there was no way to see if there was any reception to the submission. or we'd have to wait until almost 2045 in the time, if they did receive it, to get a signal back.
Uh-huh.
But I think that it's very... It's very close-minded for us to think that we're the only form of intelligent life anywhere in the universe. But the question of that is, is there a civilization that has advanced so far, if they started 1,000 years before us, then they do have the same mental capacity that we have to be 1,000 years ahead of us, to come here with quote-unquote stealth technology to say, oh, shit, they see us, later, and then take off.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they're trying to observe us and didn't want to be found out, like a science project or something, they may not want to, they may be like that, but...
There's a lot behind it. Do I think that there's a human arrogance to think that we're dominators of the interstellar, universe? Yeah, I think that on a whole, the human aspect is to believe that we're superior of everything.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, it is an arrogance. It doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that that's what 98% of the public believes.
What do you think that
go ahead.
Do you think that arrogance also applies to the supernatural, the paranormal, as far as we're the only ones here on this planet? There is no other, like, parallel universes on this world. It's just us and nobody else.
I think that you should get the hell out of my mind. No, and I see that with the paranormal as well, and mm-hmm. tying that in. You know what? Nobody has the answers. We have bits of audio or bits of video that we try and use our conscious mind to rationalize, but it doesn't mean that it's accurate. If I played, like, for example, if I played an EVP for you,
uh-huh.
and I don't tell you anything about what it is, and this is where people mess up on Facebook and all that kind of stuff with this, is uh-huh. posting photos, like still photos or video or audio. Oh, well, if you look in this clip, then you'll see this, that, and the other thing. Well, you've now baited that person to see that.
Yeah.
You've now predisposed that person's opinion by what your opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
You may, like, I may hear the name Helen. You may hear, go to hell, I don't ever want to see you again. Like, whoa. But since I said, oh, listen to this audio clip, I hear Helen, you're going to cancel out everything else that you listen to and hear Helen.
Well, it's like if someone says, don't think about an elephant. All of a sudden, you're going to think about the elephant. He's put that into your brain, so now you're predisposed to hear that and think about that.
Yeah, it's predisposed baiting is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You are, and it's implanting something before somebody even encounters that. And I think in the UFO community, because... I mean, let's be honest, primarily you and I and everybody that's, involved in the show are primarily paranormal. UFO is kind of, UFO or Bigfoot is kind of a realm that we don't have that much knowledge in.
Yeah.
As much as we do, I can't even say knowledge, but as much as we do practice in the paranormal. So,
I think that's why there's more theories and speculation than there is more of anything else.
Well, and that's every field, whether it's UFO, paranormal, crypto, like any psychic phenomena, like anything is truthfully just theory. That's why I love the people that say, oh, no, I have the answers. Oh, really?
Yeah. You can enlighten me, oh, answered one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? The the $1 million prize is still out there. The James Randi Foundation. Yeah, that's never been claimed. Why? It's an impossible test to pass.
Yeah, that's the thing about the paranormal. Unless you're there and you're there with the people who are collecting evidence, you can still find even the people you know will lie to you about their evidence. You know, there are some people who will still doubt it. You know, you can be the most truthful person in the world, but unless you're there, there are still people who will be like, oh, well, that's bullshit. It doesn't exist. There's another explanation for it. An explanation is a lot more far-fetched than it's a ghost.
You know, yeah.
People will just make up these crazy-ass things. It's just so they won't have to admit that maybe there is paranormal activity out there.
But the sad part about it is logically they believe it. That explanation that seems so far-fetched to you is their reality.
Well, and you also have to understand when you get into stuff, whether it's paranormal, UFO, crypto, it's the human capacity to understand, discern, and make it relevant to them. It doesn't mean that it's – and I'm not saying that none of this exists. I'm not being like a bugaboo and all this stuff because – Ben and I have had a lot of conversations when it comes down to extraterrestrials and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, for the shows that he's been on, the tours that he's doing, he has some great, great stuff, which intrigues him.
Uh-huh.
And that's what everything with this field involves is what intrigues you, what direction do you want to go? It doesn't have to be a belief. It just has to be a, hey, I want answers for this. And when it comes up to whatever answers that you're able to gather from tests and everything else that you do, and it's how you interpret that and it's how you portray it that makes it extremely, extremely interesting. There's a place up in Wisconsin that I go to when I'm up there. It's just outside of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, kind of out in the woods. It's on a lake. It's called Benson's Bar. I've talked to Ben about this as well. Billy Benson, being the owner of the bar, he has Alien in a Jar. His whole bar is alien-themed. He claims to be abducted a few times. He's written a few different published books about abductions, about alien encounters, about just everything he's experienced throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great – I've tried to get him on the show on Wednesday night a couple times, and he's like, well, I'm running the bar. I have my friends here. I can't, you know, walk away from them and do whatever. They want food, they want booze. I got to cater to them. He's hysterical when you talk to him. But a lot of his books that he's written and just stuff that he's encountered, dim-witted old man, he's not a, you know, hillbilly or somebody just trying to get famous or anything like that. Like, everything that he says actually does make sense. And he's a great, great person to talk to. And that's one of the places on Ben's bucket list that he was talking about was going to, or that he's talked to me about in the past, was going to Benson's Bar. He's talked to Billy numerous times.
I think there is a stereotype of people of, like, who have been abducted, and that usually they people consider them to be, like, you know, rednecks or, you know, out fishing, drinking beer, and all of a sudden they wake up and they're naked, and they well, don't remember having the night before. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, it is the case sometimes, but there are a lot of examples where couples have been taken. They have lapses of memory. They don't know how they got in a certain place. But they find weird markings on themselves, and they don't know how they got there. So, yeah, I can see there are people out there who think they've been abducted, and otherwise they're pretty upstanding citizens, you know?
Well, and it's especially when it comes down to interview police officers or military personnel that have had these experiences and encounters that, as human beings, we hold them to such high standards of what their credentials are. And
yeah, well,
there is something to be said about
that. You would hope that they would be more more upstanding and be more truthful about. You take them more seriously, you know, than you would take, you know, Joe Schmo behind, you know, Bob's bait and tackle. But it's not always the case. I mean, you know, especially these days, you know.
Well, and if you look at it as a whole, like take, you know, Ben Henson, who I hold extremely credible from fact or fake, and, you know, the just even on a TV show, which, let's be honest, is, you know, 90% crap of what's portrayed to the public versus what they actually got. Sometimes a lot of producers and a lot of stuff just say, hey, this won't make good TV, so we're not going to air it. And it's the behind-the-scenes stuff. And with him, with his FBI, you know, background and just the way that they conducted themselves on the show, I don't know if some people overlook that. But it's hearing the stories that I'm sure that you guys have heard tonight of the behind the scenes stuff, the stuff that wasn't that didn't go to air, that make it extremely intriguing.
He actually talked about that tonight on the show.
Yeah, and Ben shows no shame, nor should he. I mean, they went through and they did the best that they could, and then when it goes to the cutting room floor and the editing is when you see the stuff that we get to see.
It's unfortunate.
He wouldn't be wasting his time and going out there to Roswell and certain parts of California and all that if it wasn't something that he actually truly believed.
Oh, no doubt. And he was talking about how there's been, like, government agencies that have found, you know, dead alien bodies and stuff. And so, yeah, he's definitely a firm believer in that.
Yeah, and it's somebody who has a little more insight to the government than any of us ever will have access to whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been on our show a few different times, and it's always new information that can be validated if you have certain access to XYZ that the normal general public doesn't.
Yeah, he seems like he'd be a wealth of information if you had questions to ask him.
Yeah, I mean, locally, I can tell you who got a DUI last weekend, but I can't tell you who had an alien encounter last weekend.
You know, I really can't tell you who had an alien interaction around here either, to be honest with you. Is that something you find on the local news?
Yeah, and it's not publicized.
No, I think a lot of people now, if they do, they're almost embarrassed to say anything about it because of just the stereotype of, you know, people like, oh, you always saw an alien. Ooh, were you drinking beer too much or something? Or, you know.
And then for that person, you're almost at the point of like, yes, I was. Like, I don't want to be scrutinized by the community. So, yeah, you know, maybe I was a little too drunk, something like that. I don't know what else to say. And then you come across looking like the person saying, But, yeah, it's, I think that the extraterrestrial and cryptozoology end of our field, because everything does lump into the paranormal, I think it's a lot harder for those guys, you know, Bigfoot hunters, stuff like that, than it is for us saying, hey, I got this voice I can't explain.
Yeah, well, yeah, and plus, I mean, we can go to a house. I mean, it's a lot easier for us to go into a house and find something than to search, you know, search the half the state of Washington trying to find a gorilla person or a Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, as far as what I've experienced with the amount of guests that we've interviewed, the amount of just evidence that's come across, I think the crypto guys have it a lot harder than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They post something online and it's instantaneous. Either you got the greatest thing ever and that's like a 5%, but 95% of people are going to be like, no, this is what it is. This is what it is. Well, you weren't there.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot more bashing on the crypto side of the alien side than there is on the... But I also think there's a lot more fakes still or alien side than what we have to encounter.
But looking on this side, the hoaxers, it is more of a high dollar business hoaxing people to come check out a dead Bigfoot that someone made out of, you know, plastic and fiberglass. You could charge people money to come check it out, but no one's going to charge people money to come listen to an EVP or to look at pictures you found you took of a spirit. But you can charge people money to buy tickets to come see a dead Bigfoot. Or even then, to go back to the old freak shows, the sideshows. You know, come pay 50 cents and come see the bearded lady or come see a real-life mermaid. Come see so-and-so eat glass. Taking people out is a lucrative business in the cryptozoology world. So what was that quote? There's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, the, you know, turn of the century where there was a shit ton of people. Like, have you ever heard of Mike the Headless Chicken?
Mike the Headless Chicken?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've heard of him.
All right. Mike the Headless Chicken was in the 1940s. Basically, it was a chicken farmer that was, I think it was out of Minnesota, if I remember right.
Uh-huh.
They had, it was a farm that would raise chickens or roosters to mature age. They would slaughter them, and they'd send them to, like, local restaurants and grocery stores, a few different venues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike ended up getting decapitated, lived for 18 months. So
Mike was chicken?
Mike was a chicken.
Okay.
But they just had a segment on Mysteries of the Museum, but I've looked into the whole Mike thing for a couple of years. What happened is when he was beheaded, you're Googling right now, are you? But what happened with Mike is his brainstem was still intact. The farmer who actually made a killing, we're talking the 1940s, and his average income with the sideshows and all that stuff throughout the country was making like $4,000 a month. So they were actually living pretty well. But it was a headless chicken that they preserved his head in formaldehyde, and they bring in the sideshows, and he would walk around. He would, react like a normal chicken would do.
Uh-huh.
But was completely headless.
Huh.
So
the full story
of the family. Go ahead.
How does he eat? Or how is he sustained?
That's actually some more information. The farmer would feed him through his, because his esophagus was still intact.
Uh-huh.
So he'd feed him corn shuck, and he would give him water through an eyedropper. Well, Mike's demise actually was just the same as humans. Anything that can actually live, breathe, and function has a septum. Well, in that septum, he would, build up mucus, and the farmer would feed him or droplets of water through an eyedropper. The eyedropper broke, and then pretty much Mike choked on his own phlegm in a horrid but easy way to put it.
Well, that's not the way I want to go.
No, he was choking through a tube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have a way to process it. But, yeah, no, he was very, very well taken care of. The farmers made a killing. Pardon the pun. But,
that's funny.
But yeah, it's amazing what the body will do. I mean, yeah, your brainstem in your body controls your heart rate, your balance, your equilibriums, in a different way to put it, and also your breathing. Like, he was fully functional as a headless chicken.
Brings a whole new meaning to demon chicken to me.
Huh?
So it brings a whole new meaning to demon rooster to me. When I was young, we used to have a rooster that would attack us, so we decided we were going to, cook him one day.
Off it?
Huh?
You said you were going to off it one day?
Yeah, pretty much. And my mom went out there, and I watched her when this happened. She snatched him up, and she turned his head around 3 times. And then set him back down and told my dad to go get him because we were tired of fighting with him. Well, Dad went into the chicken coop to pick him up, and the rooster chased him out of the chicken coop.
So she tried to break his neck, and he just wasn't having it.
Pretty much, he wasn't, nothing. three times around. I swear to God, it exorcist, and it still lived. So a headless chicken is now my nightmares. Thank you.
No,
I
just
have the image in my head of
headless
chicken walking around, you know, running around like a chicken with his head cut off for 18 months.
Oh, that makes me wonder if they dressed him up as a headless horseman for Halloween.
Aw, that'd be so cute. Headless chicken.
Wait, cute?
Yeah, dress up a chicken as a headless horseman for Halloween. Have like a little stick horse that kind of sits up in the costume and he just walks around.
Wow. This show's gone downhill.
Nobody getting that train. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess that'd be kind of cute.
We're talking about dressing up headless chickens on our show. Well, look how far we've come.
As for a thought, Mark that I started CPR with, he just got pulled over. He's in the process of selling his house, and he had a whole bunch of cord around which were in 12-foot lengths that was sticking out of the passenger side window of his car, and cop pulled him over. Granted, he's driving a PT Cruiser, so it's an 8-foot-long car with 12-foot cord around. So, not exactly the best setup for internal space. But he got pulled over, and the cop walked up to his window and said, "Hey, you doing some carpentry?" And he goes, "No, I'm jousting. I'm searching for the Black Knight. Have you seen a Black Knight anywhere?"
Oh, my God.
Cop laughed and let him go.
Flesh wound.
Come on, you pansy.
Yeah, cop laughs and let him go.
I've had worse.
You're killing me.
That is actually a true story, though. That's not fabricated.
Wow. I think the last time I got pulled over by a police officer is because I was riding the yellow line because I couldn't see my speedometer because my speedometer lights didn't work. And their lights were really, really bright. And the first words out of my mouth was, "Man, I'm glad I'm not an epileptic." Yeah. They got
a
kick out of it, though.
Did you get a ticket or no?
Huh?
Did you get a ticket or no?
No, I got a warning, but my car did get searched because the person in the back seat was moving around and they thought he was hiding drugs.
Oh.
Well,
but no ticket.
Also, and I'm going to say this real quick because I know you guys got like 5 minutes left, but when it comes to police officers or first responders or anything like that, you got to understand 99% of the time they deal with like crap people or people that are just not honest. So if you can make them laugh, they're usually going to cut you a break. Not if you're like shit-faced drunk or high or have a kilo of coke in the back seat or anything like that, but
just in
general.
They're laughing, they'll let you go, huh?
You know what? It's better than arguing. If you argue...
There was more to that story made them laugh even more. No, it is because you were talking about making them laugh, and I was going to leave it at that until you said that, because it was two state troopers. And at the time, I worked at Panera Bread, so I had, like, bags of bread in my back seat, too, that had been in there for, like, a good while that I didn't get a chance to give to the goats yet. And when they asked if they could search my vehicle, I was like, "Yeah, you can, but I'm debating whether or not I should, like, get you to resign, you know, release forms saying that if you catch any kind of disease from mold, it's not my fault."
Well, you don't want to be responsible for that.
I mean, I had both of them rolling for a little while.
Or something? I hold you a non-liable form?
See, to reference, say, "I'm trying to make croutons."
It was Asiago bread. Dude, Asiago bread makes the best croutons.
Ooh, and it has cheese. Yeah, that was funky and moldy. But anyway, guys, I'm not going to keep you anymore. I'm going to close out the show last couple of minutes. So do your thing. It was a pleasure chatting with you. Wasn't expecting to. Was just going to listen, but nah, what the hell.
Well, thank you for calling in. And to all our listeners, our freaks out there, don't forget to turn in to Full Spectrum Radio every Wednesday night from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. And I have no idea what is Central Time or California Time or whatever, but it's a great show.
8 to 10:58
There we go. Thank you. Do you have anything coming up you want to discuss before we get off the air, Matt?
Pretty much. I mean, just check it out. We're going to be doing a couple or a few non-paranormal shows, I should say. A lot of benefit, a lot of charity kind of stuff that's going to be coming up soon. So, and like I said, 2 minutes less than your show, so I'm not going to get into it. But, yes, Full Spectrum Radio, Wednesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern Time, 8 to 10 Central Time, and 6 to 8 in Pacific Time. Mountain Time, figure it out yourself because it changes too much.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a great rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Kristen. I think it's time for us to get off. Not get off. Get off the air. All right. Clarify. Sorry.
I know where your mind is now.
It's where it always is. What are you talking about? All right. Well, I think
Rosie Palms.
I
love you. Please don't hate me.
I'm having mind farts here. I can't even think straight. I'm a fan of the show. I can't talk right now. So, Kristen, it was awesome talking to you again. And I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm not sure if we'll have a show next week or not. I'm still working on that, but.
Just keep me posted and let me know what's up.
All right. And to all the freaks out there, if we don't talk to you this next week, we'll definitely be talking to you in 2 weeks, post show. So we're going to play some Tears for Fears with you, if I can ever get my brain to work right. And that's it. We'll talk to you later.
Everybody have a great week.
That's right.